This episode is brought to you by all of the wonderful Play Comics Patreon supporters. For just $1 a month, you can get in on the fun as well, get early access to these episodes, get some behind-the-scenes stuff that other people don't get to see. Most of all, you know, just help a show keep the proverbial lights on. Or, you know, you can also force the podcast into other people's ear holes. That's cool, too.
I'm Kier from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who fandom podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows in the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, the show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today I'm excited because I have a new guest, somebody that this is the first time I'm talking to him, and it's always exciting for me to get to talk to new people. I've got Aaron Weiss from Weisscast. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Chris. It's kind of a gloomy day here where I am, and I like that just fine. I got to kind of have a little bit of a lazy day.
Yeah, we were threatening rain all day, and it never quite happened, which honestly I think is worse, because I don't mind rain.
Yeah, me neither. I took the rest of the week off from work, and I just was so glad that today was rainy, because I didn't want to be up and at them today. I just wanted to be lazy, and I feel better being lazy when it's kind of rainy and gloomy, and not when it's sunny. That motivates me to get outside, usually, when it's sunny.
Well, I'm glad that you had a nice rainy day, because one of the things you could have done was look at Spider-Man stuff, which I'm sure you did, because that's something I tend to do like every other day.
Yeah. I am pretty deep into Spider-Man fandom in general. He's by far my favorite Marvel hero. I grew up watching the 90s cartoon. I have a couple of his graphic novels. I love the Sam Raimi movies. I actually like all the movies pretty well, except for Amazing Spider-Man 2. That one's kind of not as good as the others, but big Spider-Man fan. Of course, Spider-Man 2018, can't say enough about that game, but I'm just huge, huge fan, and becoming even more of a fan as things like Spider-Verse get introduced to the masses, and all these different Spider-Men. Love Miles Morales just as much as I love Peter Parker, and I can't say enough about how much I love Spider-Man.
And one of the reasons I'm excited to have you on for this one is you came over to the website yourself and filled this out, the form that I have over there. So, I mean, this wasn't me having to go pick somebody out and, hey, I need to cover this game. This was you coming on and saying, hey, I really want to be on the show. And I just always appreciate that. So thank you.
No, yeah. I saw a tweet from Eric Bailey, who my brother is friends with, and I was like, oh cool, a podcast, I want to go check out their website. And I saw that you had a forum for guests, and I was like, oh, I mean, it'd be cool. This is my first time ever guest starring on a podcast. I've always hosted podcasts, and I took a shot, filled it out, and the rest is history.
Well, guesting is the best part of being on a podcast, because you get to do all the fun stuff and you don't have to edit.
That's so true. Yeah, I have that show, Weisscast. We're kind of on a break a little bit, doing a little restructuring to the show. I have a movie review show called Weiss Camera Action And my friend and I launched a gaming only podcast called Gamer Pod, a Weisscast production. And yeah, it's a lot, but I really love podcasting. It's something that I got into about 3 years ago. I didn't really have hobbies back then, and I was just like, you know what, this sounds fun. I'm gonna try to do it. And it's been a great hobby ever since. I really enjoy the process of it, but yes, editing probably is the worst part.
So what is it that really drew you into being a Spider-Man fan?
As a kid, you know, he is one of the most colorful superheroes. The red and the blue and the white eyes with the black outline around it. Like, he just looked so very eye-popping. And one of my best friends and I growing up loved watching the 90s cartoon. That really was my first introduction to Spider-Man. I know all of my, like, all of the major Spider-Man arcs, well, I guess up until, like, whenever the show ended, because of the show. And I think Spider-Man was, like, the Sam Raimi movie was one of the first movies that I saw in theaters, or first PG-13 movies that I saw in theaters, sorry, excuse me. And it was just so well made, and it was very reminiscent of, like, it's what I wanted Spider-Man to be on the screen. And there's been, you know, a myriad of Spider-Man games, and we'll get to the game later, but I always thought Spider-Man games were fun, and just the character of Peter Parker. I mean, everyone's gonna say this about Spider-Man, and he's just so relatable, you know. He's especially as someone growing up, like, he's, you know, a teenager in his late teen years when we first meet him, but, you know, he's just a kid growing up, and he's very relatable, and I think that's why he has such staying power, not only for me, but for many Spider-Man fans.
Everybody only says that relatability thing because it's true. You know, mm-hmm. How many other superheroes have to worry about going to school and having a cold throwing their powers off and stuff like that?
Exactly. And I mean, he does have amazing superpowers, but it's not like he's Thor. Like, he's not like a literal god, or he's not Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark with billions of dollars at his disposal. He's just a kid that got bit by a spider who's, you know, trying to make his way through life.
One of the things that I really love about Spider-Man 2 is his rogues gallery is just so widespread. Possibly one of the best in comics.
No, I agree. I think Spider-Man might have the best in all of Marvel. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. And he might only be matched by Batman in DC. But yeah, I completely agree. Like, Doc Ock, Rhino, Mysterio, Vulture, Scorpion, the list goes on and on and on, and they're just all such good villains in their own right. And I've liked the recent updates to the villains with the Far From Home series. I love Vulture in Homecoming, and then I love Mysterio in Far From Home. And it just sounds like No Way Home. It sounds like that movie's going to be insane. And it's confirmed that Elektra is going to be in it, but we don't know who else is going to be in it. Like, I didn't even mention Green Goblin. Like, dear goodness, this is just an incredible rogues gallery. You're so right.
Usually I would have mentioned this already, but we're looking at Mysterio's Menace for the Game Boy Advance. So you don't have a ton of room to get a lot of villains in there. The fact that this is a Game Boy game means that you have to pick your villains pretty carefully and make sure you don't use the same old ones that everybody uses.
Yeah.
And I think they did a really good job here.
No, yeah, I agree. The, six or seven that they chose to use in here were really good. Like, I completely forgot about Big Wheel, like, as a villain. Just doesn't really come up much in the media that I've consumed Spider-Man in. But, I mean, the rest are just classics, like Hammerhead and Electro, Rhino, the Scorpion, Mysterio. They're all just very classic Spider-Man villains. One of which is in this 2018 video game. Shocker's in the game, not Electro.
And honestly, I'd only seen Big Wheel as, like, joke panels of things. So I haven't even seen any Big Wheel in any kind of context.
Yeah, I mean, Big Wheel is just one of those, just like classic comic villains. Like, it's just ridiculous with the, you know, it, listeners, if you don't know who Big Wheel is, just, you know, take a second whenever you have time to Google Big Wheel, because it's literally a dude in a literal big wheel. It is very, for lack of a better word, comical.
Kind of almost seems like the Spider-Man answer to Kite Man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I know for me, it's nice to see a game without Kingpin. Normally I would say it's nice to see a game without Green Goblin, but he doesn't seem to be in as many things as I think he is. So, I mean, I could go either way there.
Before replaying this game, I keep bringing it up, but the last Spider-Man game I played was Spider-Man 2018, and Kingpin's the first boss in that. Like, he is, I don't want to say overused in Spider-Man media, but I mean, he is in a games, from a games perspective, he's like a classic, like, boss for a Spider-Man video game. And it was refreshing to fight Hammerhead first in this game. A villain who I think doesn't get enough. Like, a lot of times Hammerhead is a henchman for Kingpin or for someone else. Like, he's not his own entity. Or am I thinking of Tombstone?
I think it's both of them, really.
Yeah.
And the fact that Spider-Man will deal with these really street-level guys, but then also go deal with somebody who is a threat to, you mean, the larger part of the Marvel Universe, I really like the spread there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in Spider-Man, specifically in Spider-Man video games, we see him with his classic rogues gallery, the smaller villains like, you know, Rhino, Electro. The ones who are kind of just motivated by money or taking over Manhattan or whatever it is. But I would like to see a Spider-Man game, and maybe it would have to be an ensemble cast game, but, you know, where they're going up against a Thanos or like a Galactus or whoever it is, like one of those galaxy threats, because Spider-Man does deal with that stuff. We see that in the MCU, when in the Avengers movies that he's in. It would be really cool to see a large scale thing, but I guess when we do see Spider-Man taking on those large scale threats, he's teaming up with, you know, the Avengers or the X-Men or whoever.
So one of the things I was not really able to find about this game at all was any specific story that it was based on, which is a nice little take too. It's not tied to any story, so I don't really know what's going to be going on.
Yeah, this game's story it seemed like an original story, and I don't mean that as a slight against it, but it's kind of refreshing having IPs like Spider-Man told via a different media or medium than they're usually told through. I mean, I think a lot of people think of the comics first and then maybe TV cartoons and then possibly the movies. But the movies and TV cartoons just take from the comics for the most part. And then, you know, the video games kind of get whatever's left of that. But having an original story was very refreshing.
So if you were going to write a Spider-Man story, do you know what it would be about?
That's a great question. You know, I like the idea of having a more established Spider-Man in my story. You know, everyone knows Spider-Man's origin. I think having him... That's a tough question. I think having him go up against, like, Green Goblin or... like a team up, maybe the Sinister Six would be good. I don't think we get enough of the Sinister Six in my opinion. It might make it for a good game actually, but I'd like to see an exploration of Peter and like Gwen Stacy's relationship, because I feel like in popular media it's only really been explored in The Amazing Spider-Mans. And that's not that accurate of a look at it. And outside of the comics, we don't really get a good look at Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy. So I would make a game that is story-driven on their relationship, but the Sinister Six is the antagonist.
Well, you guys heard it here first. Aaron wants more Ghost Spider content. That's what I'm going to twist that around to say.
Yep, that's exactly what I want.
Why can't there be a good Ghost Spider game? I got to cut that out. That's not part of this anyway. Oh, I was so mad when they cut that series off.
Yeah. Yeah. Comic book companies in general, like, a lot of times it seems like they don't listen to fans. And they'll just be like, oh, it's time for a new continuity. I think DC's more about that than Marvel, but yeah.
Yeah, and I know COVID had something to do with the Ghost Spider stuff as well. So that was just odd timing on the end of a story arc.
Yeah.
But still...
Yeah, I haven't even really thought about how COVID's affected the comic industry. I know that, like, I mean, games and movies and stuff getting delayed left and right, but I'm sure comics are as well, or canceled.
Thankfully, most of what I was really excited about stuck around and just got delayed.
Mm-hmm. That is good.
Except for Ghost Spider. We're gonna go cry over that as I drop some promos for a few other episodes.
Hello, this is Lafayette, and I'm Carlos from Nerds Talking the Podcast.
That's right.
Where we talk about everything from UFOs,
yep,
comic books,
like that,
movies,
uh-huh,
streaming services,
yeah,
conspiracy theories,
ooh,
ghosts,
mm,
video games,
yeah,
and more.
Kick ass.
All on Nerds Talking the Podcast.
You can find us every Friday with new episodes on all digital platforms where you find your favorite podcast, Nerds Talking the Podcast.
Hello, I'm Mark.
And I'm Jasmine.
And we're the hosts of Geeks Unleashed,
the weekly pop culture news and reviews podcast.
We review and discuss what's current in the world of comics, movies, and television.
You can check us out on social media. We are at Geeks Unleashed. And you can listen to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Those are some great shows, but first let's finish up with this one. So, Aaron... Okay, no, I can't do the fake crying. It's just too much.
we're looking at Mysterio's Metas here, and I have to admit, I watched YouTube videos for this one. I just, for whatever reason, couldn't make myself go play it because I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, I got a ROM for it on my phone, and I played the first like two levels, and then I watched a YouTube video for the rest of it. I'm glad you admit that, because I feel good admitting it now too. I hadn't played a Game Boy Advance game that wasn't a Pokemon or a Zelda game in a very long time. I couldn't even tell you the last time before playing Spider-Man, but well, I guess I played Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. But yeah, a lot of Game Boy Advance games that aren't first party Nintendo games kind of didn't age super well. Also, I'm not a big fan of side-scrolling beat-em-up. That's just a personal choice. I forgot that this game was that. But it was fun. The Michael Jackson-looking villains really got me. I thought they were hilarious. The enemies, specifically in like the first level, there was a couple like moonwalking villains, and I thought they were really funny.
Yeah, so as we were saying before, this is a rather original story. Original in the sense that there's not a comic about it. It's not really anybody could have thought of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jane calls Spider-Man and says, "Hey, I went to the fair and I got a fish, but I forgot to get a fishbowl." And Peter says, "All right, cool. I'll go get you a fishbowl on my way home." And then, of course, he has to go fight villains. And then he fights the villains, and everything goes exactly as you'd expect.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward story. And maybe that's why there hasn't been, they didn't take from a comic. I mean, Game Boy Advance games were pretty small file size. You can't add that much to it. This game's only an hour long.
It does have the really nice feature, though, of you can go play basically whatever levels you want. So you can go in and there's a foundry and there's the pier and, you know, the regular places that you'd expect to find. But you can go do those sets of levels in whatever order you want. So, which I think is really good in a handheld game because, oh crap, my batteries ran out. I don't want to go play the same level over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, no, that is great. And, you know, it has the password system as well, which is, of course, from the NES era. So it's really good that it has these systems like the play any level you want, but also the password system so you can keep your progress. The playthrough that I forget, does it randomize the... So your first encounter is always going to be Hammerhead. Is that right? Like your first boss encounter?
No, the bosses are tied to whichever level you're in.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I know you encounter Hammerhead twice. And I encountered him the first level that I was on. And then I feel like I encountered him the second level that I was on. I thought that was weird. But... yeah, that makes sense that they're tied to the levels and not randomized.
You have Hammerhead when you go into the nightclub as well, which is the second of those set of levels, which just makes sense because, oh no, Hammerhead ran away from you when he went into the nightclub.
Yep, exactly. I will say that the controls in this game, I know you didn't play, you just watched the video and it probably looked a lot easier than it was, but swinging in this game was not easy as for whatever reason. Maybe it's just because I was used to like more modern controls, but getting used to the swinging in this game took me like that. That's why I stopped and started watching a YouTube video, is because I was getting so fed up with the swinging. It just, for whatever reason, I couldn't get it to click with me.
I mean, there's something to be said about unfamiliar controls too. Like, even if you go back and play it on a Game Boy Advance, I mean, I played a decent amount on one of those growing up. So it's not like that's a completely foreign thing to me, but a Game Boy Advance is not a PS4 controller by any means.
Right. No.
And if you're playing on an emulator, then, I mean, you said you had it on your phone. That's already, like, horrible and a half, because I've tried to do that before. Mm-hmm. But even if you get a controller hooked up to your computer, you're still not using a controller that was made to go with that game.
No, yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I have a Game Boy Advance SP, but this isn't a game that I like particularly like wanted to buy. And I feel like if I had gotten, you know, at my local game shop or something, if I had gotten this game, I probably would have been better off playing it on the Game Boy Advance. But even then, it would have been a little more foreign to me, because I actually got the Game Boy Advance SP rather recently when I grew up with an original Game Boy Advance. I don't have my original Game Boy anymore. That's why I bought an SP. I'm just reinforcing your point. Foreign controls or foreign controller doesn't help.
But the fact that this is a pretty straightforward game does help with that. And, I mean, we've basically told you every villain that's in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have Hammerhead a few times. You have Big Wheel. You have Electro, Rhino, and Scorpion. And as you go through those first six levels, you know, you've got some power-ups you can pick up, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Yeah, that's a great touch, especially for the type of game that this is, a side-scrolling platformer beat-em-up.
I mean, an armor suit, I think, is great for I'm not good at this game, let me take more hits. You've got a suit specifically to deal with fire, a different one specifically to deal with electricity. You can go full-on, not full-on symbiote, but you have a symbiote suit that kind of gives you some of your health back as you're going. And even though there's not a ton of time spent with them, just the fact that they exist, I think, is a nice little introduction to the comic aspect there.
Yeah. The variety, the power-ups always changed the suit a little bit too, right? And that kind of was, I think that was a nice touch for fans of the comics and myself, who hasn't read many of the comics but grew up with like the shows or the movies. It's always cool seeing Spider-Man in like the symbiote costume, or you know, spider armor, even if it's not the one that I'm used to. I love seeing the different suits.
And I love the fact that they had comic cutscenes in there and didn't even try to do any voice acting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's funny to think of the dialogue for this game and think of it being voice acted, because the dialogue is so, I think it's so basic. But that's probably because they were limited to the file size when they're cartridge. But I mean, I don't think there was any voice acting at all on Game Boy Advance. I could be wrong. But the comic style cutscenes were fantastic. The art was very beautiful. Especially for the time. I mean, this game came out in 2001. This was probably, you think this was a launch game with the Game Boy Advance?
This wasn't a launch game, but it was only a few months after.
Okay. Yeah, so, very early Game Boy Advance game. yeah, the cutscenes. I think the cutscenes are the best part of this game, in my humble opinion.
I might be there with you. And I don't mean that against the game at all. I just really like the way the cutscenes happen.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been saying, they're really well, I guess, pixelated. I was going to say drawn, but they're not drawn. They're programmed. They're very well done for what they are on the Game Boy Advance.
And that's the thing you have to remember when looking back at this old stuff. I mean, if I'm watching a video of a Game Boy game on my 55-inch TV, then I'm looking at like a 2-inch screen on a 55-inch screen. So things are obviously going to look a lot worse because they were never supposed to be seen that big.
Right, right. And I mean, even on my phone screen is like, what, 6 inches or something? And like the box on the emulator on the phone screen still probably took up a good, 3 or 4 inch window on it. And that's even distorting it some from the original intended.
And one of the things I was saying to my wife as we were watching a little bit before I came in here was that if you somehow were playing this and didn't know that the game was called Mysterio's Menace, you actually do kind of have a little bit of mystery about what's going on.
Yeah. No, yeah, you do. I agree.
You go in here, none of the villains really know who they're working with and why anything is going on, which is a lot of Mysterio's MO. He just tells people what they need to know to get things done. And Spider-Man, I mean, you don't have to go through and, like, in the game solve the mystery, but Spider-Man is trying to figure out, hey, I see these little bits of technology. That makes sense with some things I saw on another level.
The classic Spider-Man putting things together, and I think this game maybe should be titled something else because it is kind of spoilery for the game, because you're right. I mean, the villains not knowing who they're working for or working with really does. It's like, ooh, what's going on? Who's the big bad this time? Like, that's a really cool touch, but it's kind of lost with this title, like you were saying.
And one thing just hit me, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, but I'm going to admit it anyway. It really makes sense that the story is so basic because you don't have to play the levels in any certain order. So it's not like they can have continuity.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, they would have to do a fully linear game to have a little bit more depth to the story. But I think the non-linearity, I don't know if that's a word, the non-linear nature of the game kind of adds to its charm.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that I can go in, play whatever levels I want. I can kind of fill in the gaps in the story there based on the levels that I've seen already. And, this is why Spider-Man doesn't know this thing yet.
Yeah, and, if I was a huge fan of this game, like, I remember, if I remember playing it as a kid and, like, had sold it or whatever and wanted to rebuy it or replay it or whatever, and I was like, oh yeah, this one level is so cool, I could just go straight back to that level and relive all the awesomeness and not have to play through the rest of the game. I mean, I would probably want to if I was like a huge diehard fan of this game, but just the fact that I could go and like start with that one level that I really loved, I think really adds a lot to it. And that's something that we don't really see from games unless you've already like previously beat it. Like, you can't really go back to a certain spot in the game nowadays unless you already beat it.
So just looking at this game as a whole, what do you think it really gets wrong about Spider-Man?
About the character himself, I don't think it gets much wrong. I mean, it is a very simple story, and I don't think, like, there's like a hidden complexity to a lot of Spider-Man stories. Like, I mean, just look at his origin story. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Like, gets bit by a spider, could say, or could stop the person that ends up killing Uncle Ben, but doesn't, and then goes and gets revenge, and then, you know, becomes Spider-Man. Like, there's like an emotional complexity that's kind of missing from the game. But I mean, that's just because it's such a simple story, and you can't really have an emotionally complex story in this type of game. I think it gets a lot more right than it does wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't really think of anything that it really got wrong either. I mean, everything that I was even starting to think of just came back to game design aspects, and really that was more about just the fact that it was on a Game Boy Advance than anything else.
Yeah, and I mean, this game came out in a time where we were getting the original Spider-Man game for like the PlayStation 2, and you know, that was like a nice open world New York or Manhattan type game, and this probably launched around the same time that did. And I mean, yeah, it's just everything that I can think of that is wrong with the game is just platform limitations. I mean, you can't complain because it's on a Game Boy that is very limited.
And what do you think this game really gets right?
I think you nailed it whenever you were talking about the Rogues Gallery. I love just the options of, or the list of Rogues Gallery, and just the way that you can address them in any order you want to. So like, you can start with Hammerhead like I did, or I mean, you could start with Big Wheel or Rhino or whoever. And if there's a boss at the end of a level that you're having trouble with, I mean, you can just, you know, kind of skip it for now and go to the next one. Like, you don't have to play it in a linear fashion, and that's something that I really appreciate in games. Just to bring up another game that's not linear really quick, Legend of Zelda: Link Between Worlds is one of my favorite games because of its non-linear fashion. I mean, you play the first dungeon and then you're free to go. Like, you really just need rupees to get things for dungeons. Like, it's an incredible game, and it is designed in such a way that you don't need to play it in a certain order. And I think that's what this game really gets right as well. The Spider-Man Mysterious Menace gets really right.
And I think the Rogues Gallery here, again, I mean, we've said it this often because it really is just the big highlight. You always have Spider-Man. I mean, he doesn't go up against big guy after big guy after big guy after big guy. They always, in the comics, seem to mix in, hey, here's this little off-the-wall villain. And here, you have that as Big Wheel. And just the fact that they're still mixing in rather unknown villains into this game, I think, is just the perfect touch.
Yeah, it really is. I'd like to see, or I mean, other games have been, other Spider-Man games in particular have been doing this as well. I mean, I've brought it up so many times in this podcast, but Spider-Man 2018 brought you Mr. Negative. Like, he was a pretty new villain at the time. And not very well known, but just like Big Wheel is in Spider-Man Mysterio's Menace, not a super well known villain, but he's in this game. And I'd say I'd say the other five villains are, you know, A or B list Spider-Man villains, but I mean, Big Wheel's kind of out of left field for a lot of people.
If you knew somebody who wanted to get into Spider-Man, just in a vacuum, this is the only game that exists, because obviously it's not the top choice. But would you hand them this game as a bit of a primer course?
They want to get into Spider-Man, and this is the primer course. I don't think I would. I think I'd recommend, you know, a TV show or a graphic novel or something else. I don't think I'd recommend this game as a primer course.
Yeah, as much as we've talked about how good this game is at representing Spider-Man, I don't think it's a good intro course. There's not mm-hmm. enough going on to really introduce you to things. I think it's good to give it to somebody early, maybe after they've watched a couple episodes of one of the cartoons or after they've read a few of the comics. You could definitely do it early, but I wouldn't want this to be the first thing.
Right, yeah. I think giving them this game after like a couple arcs in the 90s show, I think they'd love it. Because I mean, the art style on the cover of this game is that of the 90s cartoon.
And I think that really is the perfect place to stop things. Aaron, it's been great talking to you. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at The Weiss Is Right. Am I allowed to plug my podcast?
Yes, that's actually the whole point of me asking.
Oh, cool. So my podcasts are a little bit of a break right now, but on your favorite podcast service, go to search Weisscast, WEISSCAST, all one word. And yeah, you can follow that on Instagram and Twitter as well at Weisscast. It's been a pleasure, Chris. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great talking to you about all this as well, and I look forward to maybe getting you on again for another episode or having you send some more great people my way.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. We'll for sure be in touch.
As always, if you want to get with me, hear more from me, any of that fun stuff, best place is to head on over to Twitter at PlayComicsCast or over to PlayComics.com, where you have links to all the social media stuff, all the Discordy type stuff, everything like that, because I don't know, I like talking to people about things. It's fun for some reason, you know? It's kind of why I do the show. If you want to help support the show, you can head on over to playcomics.com/support, where there is a bunch of different options for how you can support the show. And, you know, it helps to keep the proverbial lights on. It helps to keep the show going. It helps me pay other people who write comic reviews on the site, because I'm not going to ask people to do that for free. Thankfully, it's my friends, and they might get paid kind of late, but it happens. They get paid. They know that. If you want to hear some more wonderfully geeky shows, head on over to GinnaGeek.com, where you can check out all kinds of other wonderful geeky shows, which for some reason is the only adjective I can think of. Steven and SP, please help me think of more adjectives. I don't know what adjectives are right now. If you like the music that I'm rudely talking on top of, head on over to soundcloud.com/bestday to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.